This.
Hey, how you doing? What are you doing? Hey, how you doing? Hey, how you doing?
Is Felger and Mads.
What?
On 98.5.
Unbelievable.
The Sports Hub.
All right, right back to your phones. As promised, Felger and Maz. Wally in Fall River on the Sox. Go ahead, Wally.
Yeah, what's up, guys? A couple of things I want to hit on with the Red Sox. First of all, Blake Swihart, what did I do with this guy? This guy's in the Twilight Zone. But as far as all these games count. We only won the division by 2 games last year. But if we take 2 out of 3, I think it'll be a miracle. I'd be happy with 1 game. But you look at the bottom of the order, it's a black hole again. You get 3 guys with what, Nunez, Leon, Vasquez, and you got JBJ. They got 15 RBIs between them if they're lucky. But definitely JBJ has to be on the bench for these 3 games. But I'm just wondering, you look at Mookie Betts. He's got, what, 13 home runs. He's our leadoff hitter. But the bottom of the order, really, once you go through that order once, the table setters are at the bottom of the order. If these guys don't get on base, this guy's going to have, what, at the most 70 RBIs.
Okay, well, I'm just going to stop you there. So you mentioned the catching in the bottom of the order, they're sort of tied together. Are you worried about the offensive production of your catchers? Let me just read from Peter Abraham in the Globe. He says, the Sox believe Christian Vasquez and Sandy Leon are their best options to catch, and justifiably so, given the team's 3.45 ERA. That Vasquez and Leon are the worst offensive duo in the majors is largely incidental.
They are. They're dead last in OPS at catcher.
But what does he mean by saying the fact that they're the worst offensive duo is largely incidental? Meaning?
Defense is more important, maybe?
Irrelevant.
Right. Yeah, I don't know what he means. But
that's what he means. That's what he means. He says the league average for a major league, let me just finish. The league average for a major league catcher is .228 with a .679 OPS. So what he's saying is all catchers suck offensively. As teams get more sophisticated with using analytics, a catcher's primary job is to carry out the game plan with the pitcher's offense is a bonus.
Mm-hmm.
So what he's saying is, yep, they suck offensively, but all catchers suck offensively. And the advanced metrics, Murray, the nerds say you're far better off having catchers who can control a pitching staff. And if the offense comes, it comes. It's just a bonus. Boy, does that feel like... What does that feel like excuse making to you, or what?
That's someone that loves WRCT+, or whatever the hell that is.
Yeah, so there's also acceptable bad offensive catcher, and then there's inept, okay? And their offensive catcher has been inept. Leon had a 3-run homer in Texas over the weekend. That was the biggest that they got out of catcher all year long. And he hit it left-handed, which, you know, again, he's better from the other side. But that aside, not good enough. Not good enough when you're not also getting production out of the other 2 spots. So if you have 8 guys in the lineup that are hitting, fine, carry the catcher. I mean, no problem. But when your second baseman and your center fielder are also going belly up, now you get 3 outs at the bottom of the lineup.
All right, so what do you do?
So what I would do is, believe it or not, that's not the place I would go to improve the offense. I don't mind putting a premium on defense at catcher. I don't mind that. Get Swihart in the lineup in left field. Take Bradley out of there. Move Benintendi over. Put Swihart in left field. Let's see what he's got. And if he can't play, he can't play. Can we find out? I would like to find out with Blake Swihart.
Okay.
I think Swihart can hit.
But isn't this a better option with Moreland, who's, you know, has an OPS over 1,000?
Sure.
I mean, they're doing the same thing.
I'm talking more long-term than I am short-term.
What you want is Swihart to play second base.
Well, sure. Yeah, if he can. I don't know if he can, though. I just think that's a hard one. But to me, the easy spot to play him is left field. Moreland's, you know, to me, absolutely. Moreland's hot right now, and they're not going to stick Swihart in left field in Yankee Stadium. There's no way they're doing that. I mean it more as you get out of New York and start going for the season again. I would like to see them put Swihart in left field. Let's see if you can get some offense there. At second base, eventually Pedroia's coming back, probably at the end of the month, maybe June 1, somewhere in that area. So Pedroia will get in the lineup. You know, the thing that interests me there when that happens is where they're going to hit him. If he wants to hit second, what do you do with Benintendi? Does he drop into the bottom third? And then maybe that changes your lineup a little down there. So there's, you know, still some moving pieces there. But, Swihart, to me, they've buried. They've just buried him, and I don't know why.
Okay, here's Alex in D.C. on the basketball. Hi, Alex.
Yeah, what I'm trying to say is, like, you guys want to say that Game 4 was fixed. Why wouldn't they fix Game 3?
Wouldn't I agree.
That be the game that would extend the series?
Yep, they were late. They're off their game.
So why wouldn't they make that game the one that goes 2-1, right? Because no one ever comes back from 3-0. So
I'm with you.
If they're going to fix a game, why not do game three?
They blew it. They didn't even do it properly. What you do is you make sure that that home team wins to make it 2-1. Now they have momentum, and you may not even need to dink around with game four because the home team is sort of off and running.
Yeah, see, they assumed Philly would be able to win game three on its own. That's what, no, I'm serious. They did. They assumed that Philly and the coach wouldn't be so inept that they'd blow game three at home, and they did.
So here's your Red Sox lineup, Maz. It's just in. Betts, Benintendi, Hanley, Martinez in the four-hole, Bogarts batting five, Devers six, Nunez seven, Jackie Bradley Jr. batting eight, Vasquez catching.
See, to me, I'm disappointed in this. I'm not shocked because of the big outfield and left and center in New York. Okay, so I'm not shocked, but it feels like Bradley's running out of rope. It just feels like Bradley's, again, Cora said it over the weekend, Moreland's pushing me to play him more. So I'll tell you what, I don't love the fact that Bradley's in there tonight. I don't, but I get it. But Moreland should play more games in this series than Bradley does.
Dan and Newton on the basketball. Hi, Dan.
Yeah, I was just checking out Scott Foster. He only had 10 years of experience refereeing basketball games before he made it to the NBA. I think that's a pipeline from the Philly guy. Actually, he's from Maryland. The same thing with brothers. Only 12 years of refereeing experience before he made it to the NBA. And he's from Virginia. I think you were right, Mike, about saying the pipeline from Pennsylvania or Philly.
There's sort of that area that, you know, I just remember Donaghy being from, and a lot of dirt coming out of there and dirty refs. And, you know, again, I go back and look at it. But Foster's Donaghy's guy, and when I'll do it for in a little bit. When you read the phone records between Donaghy and Foster that were made during and around the time Donaghy was betting and fixing games, it'll blow your mind that Scott Foster is still an NBA ref. Blow your mind. And we're just sort of marveling. Like, we're not really bitching. I'm not really complaining about it because you're up 3-0. You're going to win the series. It's not. I'm just marveling at how accepted it is in the NBA and how just a part of business, standard operating procedure it is to extend a series. You assign a couple of refs and it's like, it's just like, yep, of course. Yep, here we go. They're down 3-0. They lost all that playoff revenue last year. They're about to have a bunch of sweeps and five-game series in the second round. They need this one extended. Here comes Tony Brothers and Scott Foster.
It's like being audited.
And the next thing you know, the Celtics go like 23 minutes without a free throw and it's 12-1 in the second quarter. It's like, automatic. It's like comical. It's so blatant and so accepted. Like, I'm not even outraged. I'm like, oh, yeah, yeah. You know, again, I don't take this lightly, but was that game fixed last
yeah,
night?
Yeah, Morris, Smart, Brown, Tatum all had three fouls before halftime.
I know it was.
What do you want? You know, like,
it's
you can't win that way.
And to his credit, Stevens doesn't play along.
Well, after the game.
No.
He got teed up during the game.
No, when I say he doesn't play along, the guys get three fouls, he doesn't pull them out of the game.
Oh, I see.
So the refs are expecting that, and Stevens doesn't play along. Nope, my guys stay in the game. We leave him in there.
Here's Ben in Rhode Island. What do you got for me on the C's?
Yeah, how's it going, guys? You've probably commented on this already, but I just wanted to ask as well. You know, I'm hearing the Green Teamers talk now about, you know, extending Rozier and now trading Kyrie Irving, and it's like, are you insane? He's an all-NBA point guard, and you're going to give a big contract to Terry Rozier, and, you know, and oh, by the way, you're not going to get much for Kyrie in return coming off of injury. I mean, do the Green Teamers just have, like, a short-term memory? It took us years to get Kyrie. What do you guys think about
that? I think the Green Teamers fall in love with their role guys. Fall in love. Like, you fall almost more in love with your role guys than you do your stars. But it's really equal. You just fall in love.
With apologies to B-Rob, who I love, who writes for Boston Sports Journal. What was the title of his article last week about Terry Rozier?
The Sixers may have no answer for Terry Rozier.
Where's he right now after watching last night's game?
Because
TJ McConnell blew past him over and over and over again.
Thank you. Some little backup guy at the end of the bench, Skippy Magoo, comes in and had an answer for Terry Rozier.
You can call him a twerp. Twerp is the word you're looking for. He's a twerp.
Little TJ Hoosier.
TJ McConnell is a little twerp. The Celtics got beat by a twerp last night. They did. A total little twerp.
Celtics off last night. Red Sox, Yankees heading into tonight. Come on, Max. We'll give you a Bruins minute. How did the Bruins get their top four left shot defensemen? Some people have some answers out there. We'll get to the Torey Krug situation right after this.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Blunt force trauma to run him right down their throat.
Felger.
I'm a hypocrite.
Mass.
Who cares?
Felger and Mass. 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Kevin Miller mishandled it far side. It's centered. Bruins recover out in front of backhand. They score. Bruins turn it over. Braden Point goes forehand to backhand. Rask came out to challenge. He's shoveling it by him. And the Lightning have tied the Bruins at one.
Kevin Miller's coming over to the boards to get this puck. He's got Rick Nash open in the neutral zone. He tries to shoot it up to him. He fans on it. Braden Point picks it up. Gets that puck out into the middle. David Krejci blocks the initial pass, but it comes right to Point. And he's going to go forward. Forehand, backhand, pass Rask on this goal. Actually put it by Five-hole. Good finish, good move. The inability of Kevin Miller to make that play. When he has the puck on his stick, he looked up, tried to make the pass. Puck wasn't on his stick anymore.
Rough postseason for Kevin Miller. On the ice for a lot of goals against, as was his partner Torey Krug, but Krug produces offensively, so Krug's results are more mixed. But here's a Bruins minute for you. It's just piggybacking on what I said yesterday, Maz. My number one takeaway from that series is the depth of Tampa's D versus your D, I thought was the key to the series, where they can roll out Ryan McDonagh and Stralman on a second pair. That's really good. I think that's really good. A heck of a lot better than what you could roll out on your second pair. And Tampa feasted on your second pair. Fluto Shinzawa writes in TheAthletic.com, just four examples. Zdeno Chara, on your first pair, did a number on Steven Stamkos. One round after he turned Toronto's Austin Matthews into a ghost. Stamkos scored just one 5-on-5 goal with Chara on the ice in this series. Matthews scored none. The problem, writes Fluto, was the Bruins could do little to slow down the second wave of attack in both rounds. In the opening series, the Bruins barely survived the rampage of Mitch Marner, Toronto's dynamic number two right wing, who elevated the play of Patrick Marleau and Thomas Plekanec. Marleau was on the ice for 6 5-on-5 goals, and Torey Krug and Kevin Miller were on the ice for all six.
Yeah.
One round later, the Bruins slammed into another second-line buzzsaw, and this time they weren't so lucky. Andre Palat, Braden Point, and Tyler Johnson stuffed the puck down their throats, writes Fluto. The Lightning scored 10 5-on-5 goals compared to the Bruins' 5, 4 of which came in Game 1. Point was on the ice for 6 of those 10, and only one was against Chara. The number 2 center did all of this while seeing mostly the Bruins' first line and second defensive pairing of Krug and Kevin Miller. According to Corsica Hockey, Krug and Miller were on the ice for 10 5-on-5 goals in the playoffs, the first two rounds, the most of any duo in the league.
Read that again.
Krug and Miller were on the ice for 10 5-on-5 goals against in the playoffs, the most of any duo in the league. He says putting Krug and Miller together, a direct result of Brandon Carlo's busted left ankle, was the Bruins' most regrettable decision of the playoffs. Because it's true, Miller was playing with Greslick for most of the season.
Right.
And that was a good pair. And they decided for some reason to switch it up in the postseason. But either way, I think it says to the same thing. You don't have a second pair. Everyone else other than Chara and McAvoy, and even Chara is debatable at this point, but everyone other than Chara and McAvoy are third pairing guys. And Chara ideally should be a second pairing guy, in my mind. But everyone else, and they were good. You know, Krug definitely has his value, and Miller's had a good year, and McQuaid has his value, and Greslick showed some, you know, something there. Like, but they're all third pairing guys to me. And so I said yesterday that the biggest need is on that second pair. So how do they go get that second pairing guy? And what I really think they need is a first D left shot. I want someone to play with McAvoy. And then I want Chara and Carlo as a second shutdown pair, pure defensive shutdown pair. Penalty kill, shutdown pair. And that's a purely defensive grouping, and you've got McAvoy who can play with someone legit on his left side. How do you go get it? And Fluto says, Krug might be better served as trade bait than on your team. Krug is 27 years old, 2 years remaining at 5.25 annually. He has partial no trade protection each of those two seasons. He says Krug is earning fair market value for his strengths. He's not overpaid. But those assets, however, may serve the Bruins best via trade. Krug is a valuable player for the Bruins. But a team that could use his skills may have a left shot defender that could better suit the Bruins' needs. Your thoughts?
To me, Krug or Greslick's got to go. And Krug, the one to me, is the one that's easier to pick for the money. And largely, because it gives you more latitude there. They got two small guys back there on the left side. And I thought maybe Greslick they would take out and put Holden in there and just to put some beef in the defensive core against Tampa. But to me, they need some size there. And, you know, just going back to the McDonough thing, and it didn't occur to me until I heard Cooper say this. After they got McDonough, they were basically guaranteed of having Hedman or McDonough on the ice for 50 minutes of the game. I mean, when you think of it in those terms, 25 minutes per guy, those two guys, no wonder you can't score. I mean, so this is what the Bruins have to do. Like, you need to set it up so that McAvoy and Chara are on the ice for 50 minutes combined, but in different pairs. And, you know, if it's Chara and Carlo, as you're talking about, and put someone with McAvoy, now you're getting somewhere. Now you've got, you know, a good defenseman on the ice for 50 minutes a night.
So how do you go get it? To me,
trade.
Who would you rather trade, David Krejci or Torrey Krug?
Krejci.
Me too. Who would you rather trade, David Backes or Torrey Krug?
Backes.
Me too. Are you going to get anything for David Krejci or David Backes at this point?
No.
They both have 3 years left at huge money, and they're already behind the pace of the play and getting slower by the day. So, like, we can play this game, Bruins fans. Yeah, I'd trade Paul Postma and Tommy Wingles for Noah Hanifin. Yeah, we can play that game, but you have to be realistic. To get something, and Noah Hanifin would be my target. Left shot defenseman, restricted free agent in Carolina. This is the guy you wanted to trade all those first-round picks for at the draft 3 years ago, 4 years ago, and you got left with all those picks, you know, so I'd revisit that thing. But a target, like, that's what I want. I want a young, restricted, free agent, left shot defenseman who's in his early 20s, not an unrestricted guy at 30 who you're overpaying for. I want a young guy. And you have to give up something for that. You have to give something up for that. So you can't get away with Paul Postma and, unfortunately, probably not even David Krejci or David Backes. Although, again, so if I'm choosing, it's David Krejci. If Carolina needs to get to the salary floor, as Jimmy's saying, and they'll take David Krejci instead of Torrey Krug, then great. Torrey Krug is my third pair left shot defenseman. Perfect. That's $5 million too much for my third pair defenseman, but that's what he is. Yes, Jimmy?
Mike, isn't the real question, do you trade Ryan Donato, Brandon Carlo, a first and whatever contract to get them to the floor for Noah Hanifin?
Why am I trading all that?
To get Noah Hanifin to play with McAvoy.
Right. I'm not trading.
So it's Donato, Carlo, whatever else. I mean, that's the starting point to get a left-shot franchise defenseman.
So
that's a hard trade.
It's a hard trade.
I would do that.
You have to give up something, is my point.
Oh, yeah. Krug alone wouldn't get it done.
Krug alone wouldn't get it done.
No, you'd have to throw in a young winger.
Okay. So
and more.
There's places I would start before I get to Krug. I would start with Krejci. I would start with Backes. The goalie is still definitely on the list for me. And not that the second round was his fault. It wasn't at all. I just still think he's overpaid. And you got the exact same production from your backup making $1 million. This was exactly my point in the middle of the year, that you could throw in Joe Average Goalie, whoever that is, Antti Niemi or Anton Hudobin, to pick a name. But if you throw in Joe Average Goalie for $2-3 million, you'll get roughly the same production that Rask is giving you for $7 million. So to me, that's still on the table. Who's taking Tuukka Rask at $7 million a year right now?
Nobody.
Carolina, maybe, because they're getting beyond the Cam Ward era?
All I'm saying is I think those are tough guys to get another team to bite on. I think you can get a team to bite on Torrey Krug, who's half a point-a-game guy in his 20s and has a lot of offensive upside. So that's why Fluto's saying Torrey Krug, is because you'll actually get something for him. I don't know what you're getting for Backes, Krejci, Rask at this point.
No. It's got to be... Look,
And the real things you're giving up is what Jimmy's saying.
You're going to give up a young winger.
If you really want that guy, and that's why I mentioned this yesterday. They've got this stockpile of about 6 to 10 young guys who are either here or on the verge of getting here who at the forward group who they can't keep. They're not going to be able to keep all 10. They can't play all 10. There's not room for 10. So you have a surplus there, whether it's Anders Bjork or Danton Heinen or Ryan Donato or Senishin or DeBrusk or, you know, whatever. You could have had Ryan McDonough if you were willing to give up DeBrusk. That's who the Rangers wanted. So you could have had McDonough if you wanted to give up DeBrusk. Did you want to do that?
No.
Do you want to do that now?
So no.
No, I'd rather give up the guys in Providence. But the point is you have this surplus of forwards that are valuable that will get you that piece.
See, so this is the kind of deal they're looking at, though. It's going to have to be Krug, a forward, and maybe even a pick. Like, if you're talking about the kind of defenseman you're talking about. So, you know, to me, this is... I'm not giving up to DeBrusk. Heinen? I would give up Heinen. Donato, you might be able to talk me into, as much as I like him. You might be able to talk me into that one. I just feel like they don't have guys that are big enough there.
Undersized, one-dimensional?
Yes. And so, ultimately, like, I look at it and say, if it gets you the franchise defenseman to put next to McAvoy... And then you have that pair together for who knows how long, not to mention what you have behind them.
Now, if you really want to play with this and really put together a blockbuster, the guy up in Ottawa is not going to get re-signed by the Senators. Is Eric Karlsson left shot or right shot, Jimmy?
I think he's a right.
Not that it should matter, because that guy could play with a flat stick backwards, and he'd still be one of the best defensemen in the league. But if you really want to, like get goofy, Bruins fans, and put together packages, Karlsson's not going to be long for Ottawa. They can't afford to keep him, and he's a right shot. Either way, he can play whatever side he wants for me. So
I think Vegas offered like 4 first-round picks for him.
So does he have 1 year left on his deal?
He has 1 year left. He'd be a rental.
So anyway, I mean, Krug to me is, he's always been an interesting case because he's so dynamic offensively, but he's on for a crap ton of goals against, man. He just is. And he's still not ideally for me a top 4 guy. He's just not, especially when Grizzlick's the guy behind him and he's the same
similar
guy.
Similar build, yeah.
So now you're just too undersized and you're giving up too much there on the blue line.
I don't think you need Krug. And I know you talk about the power play. McAvoy can play in the power play.
You don't shoot like Krug.
Well, but you can find ways around that, I think.
Yeah, no, look, I'm willing to give up Krug. I'm just telling you, you're losing something with him. But that's the whole point here. You can't just get something for nothing. You're going to have to give something that hurts, whether that's a young winger, or if you're a Krug fan, that's Krug. Or if you're the boohoo Tuukka crew, it's, you know, I don't know what you get for the goalie. The goalie feels to me like you're selling low and you're not going to get a good return. I think you're selling low on Krejci, Backes, and Rask, and you're not going to get a good return for those guys. But then again, maybe just clearing the money is enough. It might be. For a guy like Backes, if you just someone to take his money, wouldn't you take that as a win? If you got a bag of pucks back for David Backes, wouldn't you do it?
Of course.
You know?
But you're not getting that.
Felger and Maz.
Oh, I like this.
This is Felger and Maz.
Part of me wants to do it just to feel what that feels like.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Sports Hub.
Sports Hub. Sports Hub.
All right, back to calls as promised. Here's William in Worcester with the Red Sox talk. Go ahead, William.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
So I'm really concerned about Drew Pomerantz, first of all, and especially having a pitcher of his complete lack of ability to pitch at this point, especially with the bottom four hitters that we have not producing enough offense for him. I think it's a huge problem, and I don't think that Alex Cora doesn't realize that the major leagues is not a rehab league, and that's where I think Drew Pomerantz should be right now.
Maz, your thoughts?
Yeah, Pomerantz hasn't been good. Now, again, the last start, you know, after the first inning or two, he got better as the game went along. So I don't know if he turned a corner or not. I've never been a Pomerantz guy. I don't love him. He pitched well last year. But I'm not a huge Pomerantz guy, and the velocity hasn't been there since he got back. And now Price looks like he's not throwing his heart either. I'm worried about the starting pitching a little.
Cam and Taunton, go ahead.
Hey, Mike, don't you just love we have Kevin Miller on this team, you know, the walking turnover, and Adam McQuaid, the walking target, meanwhile Colin Miller's out in Vegas playing 20 minutes a night and covering 200 feet of the ice? Why did we let that guy go again? Anyway, I look at it just now, Mike, they're going to run into some cap problems here because, you talked about this last summer. This league's got a CBA problem, and if you want to get McAvoy for something reasonable, you got to do it this summer. And I looked it up. The season beyond this year, they have just over $73 million in salary already tied up. And that's not including, let's face it, Chara has another solid year. They're probably going to give him another one-year deal. And entry-level guys coming up like JFK or Bjork or Zboril or Lawson. And the cap projections right now are supposed to be between $78 and $82 million. So you gotta, if you want McAvoy for something that's not absurd, you got to do it this summer.
Okay. I'm with you, Cam. And the way these young guys work is you got to pay them after year two. It's ridiculous. And pay them well. So if DeBrusk, if Donato pans out, McAvoy, Carlo's going to have to get paid. If this Anders Bjork and one of these other kids come up,
sure.
Seneschen come up and flash, next year or two, you got to pay them. And that's where Backes at 6, Krejci at 7.25, Rask at 7 is going to really add up. And so I think this is something they have to do. Never mind trading a Backes or a Krejci or a Rask for your young left shot defenseman. I don't know if that gets you that. But you got to think about managing this money, i.e. dumping this money somehow, or else you're not be able to sign all your young kids.
See, to me, this is now where it gets hard for Sweeney. And so he hasn't had to decide yet, really. I mean, you know, he made a move at the deadline with the Nash deal, but that wasn't even really a hard decision. So now, but now the decision, you got to pick the right guys. Because once you pick him, especially now with a hard cap, you're going to invest in him and that's it. So let alone you give away the wrong talent, you're going to invest in the wrong talent too if you don't pick right.
Albert in Rhode Island on the NBA refs. Hi, Albert.
How's it going, guys? Mike, what a great day. So shocking. I get in my car after a night of basketball where the home team in the playoffs had a foul advantage. Conspiracy! Call off the dogs, call off the integrity, it's a conspiracy. Don't talk about the fact that they got out-rebounded by 18 on the glass. Don't talk about the fact that Philly played the greatest game of the series. Just say the same old, oh, it's fixed adage. So here's my question to you. If the NBA likes to fix games and reproduce certain finals, why did LeBron and Kobe never play in the finals then at the peak of Kobe's prime in the beginning of LeBron? That would have been, I'm an NBA fan, would have been the greatest finals matchup ever. I never got it. So tell me why, if it is all fixed, why they didn't put the two of the greatest athletes in the world on the biggest stage in basketball.
I didn't say it was all fixed, and I stopped short of saying that they need to get LeBron to the finals. I don't know if it's about players. What's happening in this specific circumstance, the reason last night's game was fixed, Albert, is that the NBA is coming off a playoff year last year where they had a record low number of games, and it lost them a lot of revenue. They only played 79 playoff games. They had to kick back to the networks, and that fouled everything up. People made less money, and you had to lower the caps. This is why you had to trade Avery Bradley. The caps were lower than you thought they were going to be. It was a borderline disaster for the league. Now we're into this year, and you get into the second round, and you have two series that are about to be sweeps last night. And in the Western Conference, two series are going to be five-game series. So I think the league at this juncture cares less about who advances versus just having the inventory. They can't have two sweeps in the Eastern Conference and go dark for 3 days, 4 days. They couldn't have it. So here comes Tony Brothers and Scott Foster. Yep.
Yeah, the coolers.
That's what happened.
He's right to bring up the rebounding. That was brutal for the Celtics last night. There was too many turnovers. Yeah,
they deserve to lose.
But Philly also played their best game. Yeah. Like, I mean, all of that. But
you have to be a complete ignoramus to ignore what was going on in that game. You had over 20 minutes from the start of the second to the end of the third with the Celtics not taking a free throw.
It's the NBA.
Oh, God, listen, anybody who thinks that the NBA doesn't extend series, you're clueless. And, Albert, you might qualify, pal, no offense.
Alex in Vermont on the Bees. Hi, Alex.
Hey, what's up? So I think that the Bruins should go out and get Oliver Ekman-Larsson.
Okay, is he still in Arizona?
Yes.
Okay, tell me what his status is. Is he signed? Is he coming up for a contract?
There's 1 year left.
1 year left. He's legit. Legit big yeah. money guy. So fine. Perfect. How old is he?
He's 26, I think.
Okay, mid-20s. Perfect. Boom.
26, left shot, $5.5 million for next year.
Boom. Done. Sign me up.
6'2", 200.
That's the guy I want. Okay, so that's the guy. That's the profile I want. All right? I don't watch a ton. Let me rephrase that. I don't watch any Arizona Coyotes hockey, so I can't tell you. I can't tell you where his game is at.
You're not that much of a loser.
I know he's got a good reputation. He's a good young player, and etc. But that's what I want. Versus, you know, Jimmy came in here and handed me the unrestricted list at D yesterday, and I turned this. I don't want to sign a guy who's 32 years old for a ton of like. I'll sign a kid in his young 20s for money. I don't want to sign a 30-year-old guy unrestricted. No. I want to find a distressed sale. Whether that's Hanifin or in Carolina or Ekman-Larsson in Arizona or you know a team that can't afford it's basically someone who's on one of these restricted contracts that are coming up that the team doesn't want to pay and they feel like this has like now become the tension point with these contracts in the NHL in between year two and year three and year four paying these restricted guys. Was it Trouba last year in Winnipeg who held out yeah. and was on the block and they re-signed him to like a bridge deal? I want one of those. That's what I want.
The player that I really want from Arizona?
Nicholas Hjalmarsson.
It's a little older. Or I think it's either that or Hjalmarsson. I'm not sure there.
Nicholas Hjalmarsson.
Good job, Hook. Thank you. John in Gloucester on the Bees. Hi, John.
Hey, you know who they could trade to clear up some cap space is Brad Marchand.
Nicholas Hjalmarsson.
No, stop it. So you say trade Marchand?
I do. And I'll tell you why. Yeah, he produces in the regular season, but before this year, how has he been in the playoffs? Mike?
Less. He's a lesser player in the postseason.
Exactly. And I don't think that his crap is worth it anymore. I'm getting his act is wearing thin on me, and I think it's wearing thin on the NHL.
It's definitely wearing thin on the league. Screw the league. Here in Boston, this is about the Bruins. Is Brad Marchand worth the headache?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
He still is.
So look, I don't want to trade Marchand. I don't want to do that. You know, to me, why are fans overreacting so much to this? Because of the licking thing? I mean, all of a sudden?
The licking thing's bad.
It is bad, but again, not enough to make you want to trade him.
Not me.
Like, that's an overreaction. That's crazy.
I think people are mostly defending that. I think most fans are defending that. I think they're mad because here's a guy that's close to 40 goals the last three seasons that really didn't do all that much in the postseason.
See, now, I will say that. If you look at his numbers, it looks like he had a good postseason, and I don't think he did. I mean, that first-round series with Toronto.
Well, take out the first two games against Toronto,
right.
And what did he do?
Okay, I can give you an exact number, but in that series against Tampa, he wasn't good in that series.
And Marchand's contract's good. Brad Marchand's contract's good. He's just over $6 million, so he makes the same as Backes. You know, a little bit more. He's over $1 million less than David Krejci. He's less than your goalie. Now, he's no less than the second or third most valuable player on your team. So, no, his contract's good. He's still worth the headache. The licking thing is gross and an embarrassment to the team. They're all true, but I ain't dealing them.
See, take out the first two Toronto games, he had 11 points in 10 games. And this is what I'm saying.
That's still pretty good, though.
No, but this is what I mean, though. On paper, you look at it and you say he had a good postseason. But I don't think he had a good Tampa series. So, you know, he makes careless turnovers. There was a play that I think it was Eddie Olczyk pointed it out. The Bruins dumped the puck in the zone. The defenseman went to retrieve it in the corner.
And he didn't go after it.
Oh, that was pathetic. Going forecheck, he didn't go after the puck at all. Like, you see stuff like that, it drives you bananas. Marchand's skilled with the stick. How many times you see him during the regular season? He lifts a guy's stick, takes the puck, fights for it. He didn't go after him at all. I felt like he mailed it in at the end of that series.
Celtics and the refs last night. The Bruins going forward. Red Sox, Yankees tonight. Murray Sports! God dang it! Every day. It's amazing. It's just amazing. To the point where I want to talk about the Met Gala and Fashionistas coming up next. We'll do that right after this.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub. It's Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Mass.
Moore, you hear Brady in there?
Yes, I did.
You heard what he was saying?
Yeah, he sounded like he was trapped.
Isn't he a cutie, guys? Stop. Seriously.
Stop.
Stop, please. Please stop putting these videos up. Please. Please.
Stop. Stop.
Seriously.
Yeah, look, don't get me going on Brady. You know how I feel about him lately.
Stop. Seriously.
So this is the Met Gala. This is the annual thing there in New York to benefit the Frakata Museum of whatever in New York.
Metropolitan Museum of Art.
Aren't you fancy?
Go ahead. No, I there's no one that is.
30, 40 grand a ticket, whatever the case may be. And so Brady goes to this every year with Giselle. They do the photo op on the red carpet and whatnot on their way in.
They are quite a fetching couple.
And there was the video on their way in the car, Giselle Instagramming the video. Look at my cute date and Brady telling her to stop. We're now looking at the pictures from the entrance to the Met Gala. As your thoughts?
He's got his hand on her bucket there again. He does that every year at the galley. You know,
she wants it right there on top of the curvature, and that's the spot. Apparently, she has instructed him to lay his hand right on top of her tuchus.
He does. He puts it in the top half of her buttocks every time at this thing. I'm telling you, every picture.
Yeah, no, it's right.
Every year it has it. He looks like a freaking Ken doll in this thing is what he looks like. Seriously. He just looks like she told him what to wear. She combed his hair for him, sent him to the barber.
Do you think she really had to twist his arm?
No. I'm not saying that he was, but I'm telling you that he looks like a dork, if you ask me, with that haircut and jacket.
He likes it.
Of course he does.
He's a slave to fashion.
But I'm just telling you that.
He loves playing dress up. So if you haven't seen what he's wearing, how would you describe the coat, Murray?
It's actually pretty much, and this is a reference you absolutely won't get, but it's like the fancy coat that T'Challa wore in Black Panther. It looks pretty much just like it.
I saw Black Panther. I know what you're talking about, Mike.
Thank you, Maz.
Yeah.
So what does that mean for someone who hasn't seen the movie?
It just looks like the coat that the character of Black Panther
No,
wearing.
So describe it. Is that gold, lamé, gold embroidery? What is that?
I don't know. Beyond that, like anyway, if people have seen the damn thing. It's all
they
over
have?
Social media.
All
it's
right,
got,
so
it's
fine.
Got like some gold trim on the lapel. I'd go so far as to say...
How about a Bond villain? Is that more up your alley?
I'd say it's a little James Brownish. A little bit.
With the black turtleneck.
Yeah, I kind of... I mean... It's just not him, man.
Okay, so we're showing some photos here on NBC Sports Boston. At least there's a couple where they're smiling. The ones that sort of bug me, and frankly, I've learned to take pictures this way, too, because it is the best way to take it.
You don't smile.
You don't smile. It's basically Murray.
Yeah, blue steel.
You know, blue steel, no smile. It hides your wrinkles. Most of us have, you know, these two don't need to worry about it, but the teeth are imperfect or they're yellow, but, Maz, that's it.
Snarl.
No, don't snarl.
But you, snarl, just but, lift a nostril.
No. Pout a little bit. Just, you know. Like that, Murray.
Yeah.
Let's see it. A little bit. Yeah, better. Mm-hmm. So
you get a turn like you're mad?
Not mad. Just pouty.
Yeah, that's
it, pretty good,
man.
That's pretty good. I like that. Still, yeah.
See, I don't actually mind the suit that he's wearing. He's been taking a lot of flack for this on Instagram and Twitter and everywhere else. It's the hair. His hair
exactly.
The hair is a little too Bob's Big Boy for me. Like very 1950s.
Ken.
You walk into the barber and say, I'd like a boy's regular, sir.
Thank you.
Like, what are you doing there? He's got better hair than that.
Give me your thoughts on her, please. And keep it, you know, now we're in this
day and age.
We can't, you know, you can without getting in trouble.
She's striking. Okay, she's striking. But a little too much makeup for my liking. I mean, there's a lot of makeup there. Lot of makeup.
How old is she?
I don't know. She's going to be in her 40s, right?
I mean, they both look great. He's literally the exact same age as me.
She's going to be around 40.
I'm a
40.
Disaster compared to
her. Her wiki says 37.
Oh. Well, then she's younger than I thought.
Either way, I think she's amazing.
Yeah, she looks great.
I think she's amazing. And I, you know, I respect big time. I'm into the physical fitness. I was hoping she was like 45. Like, because that's what really does it for me. You're 45. You got two kids. Nice. Gee, nice. But it's 37. You should still look good at 37. She does.
Yeah, but what? All she does is work on her body.
Yeah, right. Perfect. Excellent.
So, I mean...
Well, why do you scoff at that? It's a good thing.
Because I could look like that if I worked on my body full-time.
No, I don't think you. You wouldn't do that. You don't have that kind of work ethic.
See, I don't think she's as, you know... I mean, she's striking. Don't get me wrong. But I don't think she's quite the thing that everyone else seems to think. I told you, I'm a Bridget guy.
Well, his hand placement is appropriate because she does have a... buttocks that can stop traffic. That is a tuchus right
but
there.
I see what they're doing, though.
As a buddy of mine used to say, you could bounce a quarter off that thing.
The gold theme. So maybe there was some input in terms of his outfit.
Are you kidding me?
Well, because she's all, you know, dressed in gold. The whole outfit is gold. He's got the LeMay thing going on with the jacket.
How do you feel that this is your quarterback?
I don't care.
Well, this is not new.
I'm not asking you if it's new.
And Murray's right, by the way. She got the fashion consultant that put the whole thing together and said, Tom, shut up. You're wearing this because it matches the dress. That's what the whole thing was. So Brady liked it, but he didn't pick it.
How do you feel that this is your quarterback?
I have no problem with this. If I had that kind of status and that kind of FU money, I would be going to all these uppity events and dressing like this. You kidding me?
You would?
Yes.
You would be dressing like this?
Yeah.
Can we get some sort of mock-up of this? Some sort of Photoshop, please?
Murray, please. You would never dress like that.
Yeah, I would. If I could go to events that nobody else could get into and I could go to events that are, it's all better people, yeah, of course I would do that.
What do you mean better people? Yeah. Wealthier?
Yeah. Wealthier, better people.
Than us?
Yeah.
You're not going to find people better than us.
Isn't that the goal of everyone, at least like in America, what, and it has been for like forever?
It is,
you try to reach a level where you don't have to hang with the rest of the scum.
It is definitely Brady's. Always has been. He's always been a star bleeper. Always, 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 always. He's always wanted this. So people who say that Giselle's making him do it and this is... Nope. He has always wanted this. He's always wanted to be the international fashionista, jet-setting, supermodel marrying... He wants to be a billionaire. He wants it.
Yeah,
he wants
that's
it
the
all.
American dream. I'm not going to damn anybody for that. Don't forget where you came from. No, forget where you came from. That's the goal.
So are we going to that truck stop across the street after the show?
I'm just disappointed. Murray wants to hang out with better people than us. Or you could wear Maz, your Felger and Maz t-shirt, which are now, just real quick, this is a time to plug it, I suppose. We now have t-shirts, folks. We now have a t-shirt store. Can I plug the website? Is this up?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it's up. I think it's up.
So we have a shop that we sell gear, Felger and Maz gear, Sports Hub gear. shop.985thesportshub.com. Shop.985thesportshub.com. This is the new Felger and Maz t-shirt. It's got a Felger and Maz logo, which feels unfortunately too much like the Toucher and Rich logo. We got to come up with our own thing there. But
we have it. It's right on the monitor behind you.
Right. We have our own. Like, we could have. Anyway, it's Felger and Maz on front, and then on back, Jimmy Stewart came up with the slogan. It says what, Maz?
Misleading the public since 2009.
Okay, so if you want this, Murray's wearing it. Felger and Maz on the front. On the back says, misleading the public since 2009.
We had many candidates, by the way, for the slogan. There'll be others.
It's the Felger and Maz initial four-way here into the t-shirt business. So if you want to buy this or there's some other t-shirts there on the shop.985thesportshub.com. Felger and Maz. The Sports Hub.